Will the House please come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may take the roll.
35 members present.
There is a quorum present to conduct business. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, no members are excused from the call today.
Today our chaplain is Lieutenant Russell of the Salvation Army. Would the members of the House please rise?
Shall we pray together? We approach thee this morning as creator, preserver, and governor of all things with our petitions for this day. May we work diligently, compassionately, and humbly with thee in hopes that our collective efforts may be worthy of thy blessing. Bless this great state, its residents, leaders, and all who come within its boundaries to enjoy the evidence of your creative powers. This we ask in the name of our universal Savior. Amen.
Representative Ewling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections to the motion that the prayer be spread on the journal? So ordered. Will the clerk please certify the journals for the 8th and 9th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 8th and 9th days.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal be certified for the 8th and 9th day.
Are there any objections to the correctness to the journal? The journal stands approved. Do we have any guests at this time for introduction? Representative Porchow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to recognize Mary Van Arsdale, a Seattle resident who's visiting Juneau as an actress and is currently performing in Perseverance Theater's production of Candide. Her role in that production has been recently reviewed as astonishing, and I would certainly commend the production to the members.
Representative Gruenberg.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce Mr. Francis Branson, who's the Executive Director of the Judicial Council and a friend of mine from Akron.
Further introduction of guests. In Gallery A is an old friend of mine that was the hospital administrator from Sitka years ago, about 100 years ago, Martin Tirador. Please help me welcome him. Any further introductions? Reports of standing committee. Oh, excuse me. Do we have any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Any messages from the Senate?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring Merton Charney by Senators Ray and Ziegler. In Memoriam Doreen Y. Huffer by Senators Kelly and Halford. In Memoriam Frank Hobson by Senators Vic Fisher and Sturgiluski. In Memoriam Terenty Filimonoff Sr. by Senators Vic Fisher and Zharoff. And honoring Janice Anderson by Senator Paul Fisher. In Memoriam Lil Angerman by Senators Bennett, Fahrenkamp, Coghill, Kurtula, Ziegler, Sackett, Ray, Vic Fisher, Rohde, Sturgiluski, and Representative Hurley. In Memoriam Turia F. Anderson by Senators Bennett, Fahrenkamp, Coghill, Kurtula, Ziegler, Sackett, Ray, Vic Fisher, Rohde, Eliason, DeVries, and all other members of the Senate. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications to come before this body?
We have a communication from the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas, and it will be on file in the clerk's office, and we're also in receipt of a report to the first session of the 14th Legislature on the calendar year 1984 activities and recommendations for changes to the boundaries of the following municipalities, cities of Fairbanks and city of Togiak. And this will be printed in the Joint Supplemental Journal. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Coxon. Brief at ease. Would the House come back to order, please? Under the daily order of business, we're under reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 14, making members of the Alaska Territorial Guard eligible for a death gratuity, under consideration and recommend it do pass and attach as a fiscal note. The report was signed by Ms. Hurley, Chairman, concurred by Hurley, Navarre, Emma Miller, Jenkins, Cato, Collins, and Boucher. House Bill 14 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 70, relating to donation of leave by state employees effective date under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman, concurred by Hurley, Navarre, Emma Miller, Cato, Collins, Boucher, and Jenkins. House Bill 70 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Joint Resolution 3, ratification of an amendment to the Constitution of the United States, defining voting rights for residents of the District of Columbia, under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman, concurred by Hurley, Navarre, M.M. Miller, Cato, Collins, and Boucher, having no recommendation, Jenkins. House Joint Resolution Number 3 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Coast Guard Auxiliary by Representative Maru. Citation honoring the Civil Air Patrol by Representative Maru. House Joint Resolution Number 14 by Schultz, relating to the navigability of Alaska's rivers and lakes.
Be referred to Transportation and Resources Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 94 by Taylor and Grunberg, an act relating to participation by magistrates in the judicial retirement system and providing for an effective date.
Referred to Judiciary and Finance Committee.
House Bill 95 by the Judiciary Committee by request, an act relating to the Office of the Ombudsman and to the powers and duties of the Ombudsman.
Referred to State Affairs and Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 96 by Davis, Hurley, Kopanen, and Larson, an act relating to the applicability of the scholarship loan program to students attending more than one post-secondary educational institution and providing for an effective date.
House Special Committee on State Loans, Health, Education, and Social Services Committee.
House Bill 97 by Duncan, an act relating to government liability for damage or injury resulting from hazardous recreational activities.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 98 with a transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act clarifying the provision of mandatory and optional medical services under Medicaid and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committee.
House Bill 99 with a transmittal letter and a fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to public assistant employment programs.
HESS and Finance Committee.
House Bill 100 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, and this has a transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note, an act relating to detention of vessels as security for oil pollution damages, clarifying a definition relating to discharge of hazardous substances and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Resources Committee.
Mr. Clarkson, do you have House Bill 101? I didn't receive it. Thank you. House Bill 101 with a transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note with an analysis by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, and Act relating to allowable depreciation methods for oil and gas producers and pipelines and providing for an effective date.
Special Committee on Gas and Oil, Resources and Finance Committee.
House Bill 102 with a letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act relating to the Alaska Resources Corporation and providing for an effective date.
Special Committee on State Loans and Finance Committee.
House Bill 103 with a letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act relating to royalty oil and providing for an effective date.
Special Committee on Gas and Oil, Resources and Finance Committee.
House Bill 104 with a letter and a zero fiscal note with analysis by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act relating to computation, forfeiture, and restoration of statutory good time.
Hess and Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 105 with a letter and a fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act relating to the International Airports Revenue Bonds Authorization and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Finance.
House Bill 106 with a letter and a zero fiscal note with analysis by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act making technical amendments relating to state taxation and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 107 by Pignallberry and Phillips. An Act relating to compensation of legislators and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance Committee.
House Bill 108 by Binkley. An Act relating to participation of former BIA certificated employees in the teacher's retirement system.
State Affairs, Hess, and Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 70. An Act relating to donation of leave by state employees and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 70 under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Hurley Chairman, concluding by Hurley, Navarre, M.M. Miller, Cato, Collins, Boucher, and Jenkins. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 70 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the objections, I do have a number of questions concerning the legislation.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd be happy to withdraw the motion if there are questions that would likely result in amendments. Normally, only amendments are considered in second reading, so whichever way you want to do it. You want me to withdraw my motion?
No, Mr. Speaker, I don't plan any amendments. I will ask the question on the third reading then.
Fine.
Thank you, Representative Furness.
Can I inquire, is the objection maintained to the motion to advance?
Mr. Speaker, I remove my objection. Thank you.
We now have House Bill 70 before us in third reading.
House Bill 70 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act relating to donation of leave by state employees and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate or discussion?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hurley.
This bill would allow those state employees not covered by collective bargaining in the executive and judicial branches the opportunity to donate their leave time. The bill is necessary because currently the law speaks only to non-covered legislative employees. The bill has a zero fiscal note because employees are transferring personal leave. It is with great pleasure that as chair of the House Committee, House State Affairs Committee, I can report House Bill 70 as its first committee action for consideration by the House. This bill is not only good policy, but at this moment is of an humanitarian nature. I'll be happy to answer questions.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had a chance to read the legislation. However, there are a couple of questions I'd like to pose through the chair, to the State Affairs Chairman. I note in the bill, line 10, section B, the bill is expanded to relate to officers. My first question is, who are included in the definition of officers, and why was the change necessary there? The second question, Mr. Speaker, has to do with the deletion of the legislature or legislative agencies. I note that there are some full-time legislative employees, particularly within the legislative branch, those aides and clerical persons who go year-round, who it appears under the existing language are included. Also, those persons employed by the legislative agency would also be covered under this. And I note by this deletion that they may not be covered under the legislation with this deletion. I think that's an important question, both of those that should be addressed.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the deletion is only there to delete what was a former limiting factor. Previously under this legislation, only legislative employees of the type the member spoke of were entitled to participate in this program other than those who had negotiated it as part of a bargaining agreement. By deleting the legislative language in there, we are now saying that any officer and employee, and an officer in this case means your exempt people, everybody from commissioner, deputy commissioner, other exempt and partially exempt people, anybody that gets a state paycheck and gets annual leave will be able to donate a portion of this and of his or her annual leave to this very humanitarian purpose. So the deletion of the words legislature in this case is actually, although it sounds kind of backwards, it's actually an expansion, because with that language in there, only the legislature could participate in this program. By taking the words legislature out, we are now making it available for every employee, whether or not they have negotiated in a negotiating bargaining unit for the purpose. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two additional questions. I note in Section 8 of the bill, line 26, it makes reference to employees of the marine transportation system, that now that they are able to participate in the program. I guess the question is, did anyone talk to those persons? Was there any testimony to support that they wanted to be included under the provision of this legislation? And see, I had one other, but I'll get that one as soon as we get there.
Representative Hurley.
Speaker, I understand that what this does is make it possible for those people to also contribute outside of the collective bargaining unit. Yes, the union that is responsible for these employees supports this legislation.
Speaker, my last question has to do with limits. We're aware that in today's high rising cost of medical costs, that a serious illness can run into thousands and perhaps millions of dollars. The bill does not make reference to any limitation as to the amount a person may be able to draw upon this. Was there envision or is there an intent that there be some type of a limitation as to the amount a person may draw out of the bank?
Representative Hurley.
Individuals who are covered by this get only personal leave. Their sick leave is all in one lump. They don't have sick leave and personal leave. Those people in collective bargaining have both sick leave and personal leave. The money, this is just like cash donation from a person who has personal leave. They give it to someone who is seriously ill at the end of the time when they would be terminated. If they terminated their state employment, they would get what is left of their personal leave. And it's just like a cash donation to another person. It's not an obligation against the state. It's something that you own as an employee.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a final comment, I appreciate the response to the question. It is a good piece of legislation, and I do propose to support it. I think it's important when you look at a piece of legislation like this, it does have a wide range of support, that we ask those critical questions to make sure that we're all singing from the same sheet of music. Again, it is a good piece of legislation. I propose to support it. Thank you.
Any further debate? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I tried to get a question answered earlier this morning, but ran out of time. But I think I we'll ask that on the floor right now. If you look at page 1, line 20 through 24, and it says an employee is covered by who is covered by the Collective Bargaining Act may donate his leave, and you get it from a person who is not covered by the collective bargaining agreements. And my question is, can a person who is not covered by the collective bargaining receive from a collective bargaining person in the form of an annual leave?
Representative Hurley.
The explanation is given to me by the Attorney General's office said that that's exactly what this does. It goes back and forth. That someone in the collective bargaining unit can give to someone who is not in the collective bargaining unit, and vice versa. Someone who is an exempt employee can give to a person who is in the collective bargaining unit.
Is there any further debate? Representative Taylor?
Yes, I'd like to commend this legislation to the members of the floor, the House, I should say, and relate to you that as a district court judge for 5 1/2, almost 6 years, I participated in this program and was able through this program to contribute portions of my own personal leave for members of the magistrate and judicial system who had suffered catastrophic illnesses. To give you a bottom line on it, without this sort of charitable contribution being available from fellow employees, some of these people who have suffered significant or catastrophic illnesses will very quickly run out of their own personal leave, their own sick time, and have to be terminated at that point from employment. This leaves them in a doubly difficult financial posture when faced with the soaring and horrendous costs of medical treatment. It has worked very well within that system. I'm unaware of any abuses that have ever occurred in this system. And it has such a fine humanitarian aspect to it, I sincerely commend it to all my fellow representatives today and hope that it will pass. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question. Representative Ewing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief re-clarification. I believe there was some hint that there might be a cost on this. I sort of heard that from the representative from Muldoon over there, but as I understand it, and I just want to re-clarify, it is a zero fiscal note. It is just a transfer of leave time from one person to another. It doesn't cost the state anything, and there's absolutely no added cost to government. If I can just get that re-clarified quickly, and then we can vote.
Representative Hurley.
If I may close the debate, if someone else wants. The reason that it is of such urgency is that there is an individual who has run out of her leave and is very seriously ill, and her associates are really pressing for this. Right now, her associates are actually helping with cash payments because of the seriousness of the condition. I urge the House to support this.
Representative Martin. Brief at ease. He's come back to order. Representative Clarkson.
Just to answer the representative from my district that sits behind me, there is a zero fiscal notice published in House Supplement Number 3. That's the answer to the question.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's important to clarify something. The gentleman from downtown mentioned that in my presentation I indicated cost. The cost was not a cost to the state of Alaska. It was a cost of the program, a person being able to donate dollars out. As I mentioned in my comment, some illnesses can run into the thousands of millions of dollars, and I think it's important to have as a matter of record that an employee does have an ability of donating any amount of their leave or whatever to this person, and it is not the intent of the legislation to set any type of limitations on that. I'm aware that there is no cost to the state of Alaska, as we've so been advised by the absence of a fiscal note. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? You're sure? The question is, shall House Bill 70 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the rolls. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
40 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 70 has passed the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 70 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections? The effective date clause is part of it. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 70.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 70.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House take up my reconsideration of House Bill 70 at this time. For the explanation of the members, this is to move the bill along to the other body. It requires a two-thirds vote. I ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to bringing up House Bill 70 for reconsideration at this time? The question is, shall House Bills, Representative Miller?
Of course, so the clerk needs to read it.
Thank you, Representative Miller.
House Bill 70 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to donation of leave by state employees and providing for an effective date.
The question is, shall House Bill 70 pass the House on reconsideration? Members may please proceed to vote. The clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
40 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 70 has passed the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, once again, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 70 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Okay, on consideration of the daily calendar, do we have citations?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Do you want me to read them all at once?
Please read them all at once, and I'd be seeking a motion from the majority leader to approve the whole citation calendar.
Citation honoring Jerry Benzak by Senators DeVries, Kutula, Sturgiewski, Zhaoff, and Representative Szymanski. Citation honoring Magdalena and Joseph Weyer by Senators Vic Fisher and Josephson. Citation in memoriam Jefferson Berry by Senators Vic Fisher, Fahrenkamp, Ziegler, Sackett, Ray, Rohde, and Halford, and Representatives Martin Greenberg, Cato, Cotton, Emma Miller, and Szymanski.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, do you wish a motion on all of them? One motion on all of them? I move that all of the citations be approved.
Are there any objections? All the citations have passed the House. Well, this completes the daily calendar. We're now under unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, several excused absences. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Hurley be excused from the floor of the House, from the call of the House on January 28th. That Representative Pinyalberry be excused from the call of the House on Monday, January 28th. That Representative Thompson be excused from the call of the House on Friday, January 25th, and Monday, January 28th.
Are there any objections? Any other unfinished business? Representative Gruenberg?
Yes. The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services waives consideration of House Bill 87.
What is the next committee of referral?
I believe
let's have a brief at ease here, please. Brief at ease. Would the House please come back to order? Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you for the indulgence of the House, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 87 is entitled An Act Extending the Termination Date of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault and Providing for an Effective Date. It is presently referred to the HES Committee and the Finance Committee. And on behalf of the HES Committee, I'd like to waive referral of that bill.
Are there any objections to the waiving of that bill? Okay, the referral that we'll have will be to State Affairs and Finance. Any other unfinished business? Under announcements of committee meetings, now please, if it is on the printed schedule, unless there's a change, most of us can read, but if there's a change, let's do it. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, on page 2, there is a change. The resources meeting that's scheduled for Friday, there will be no meeting Friday as the two bills that were in resources were passed out of resources today. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, two announcements. First of all, any further letters of disclosure of close economic association between public officials, that's part of the ethics laws, you know, will be printed in the Supplemental Journal on Friday. Members will have until 5 p.m. on Friday to turn them into the chief clerk. Once again, we're extending that deadline to make sure that everybody understands the law and understands what they have to disclose. Secondly, Mr. Speaker, although you would never guess it by looking at his desk, it's Representative Ringstad's birthday today, and we'd like to wish him a happy birthday.
Now that you're more mature, would you like to make a statement, Representative Ringstad?
That teaches me to shut up.
Representative Hurley.
On page 2 of the list of meetings, the State Affairs tomorrow, Thursday, will have Dave Rose give an overview from the Permanent Fund Board, and there will be no consideration of those bills mentioned on the calendar. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make another announcement. The Matanuska Susitna Borough has a new mayor, Dorothy Jones.
Yay! Representative Boucher.
The House Special Committee on Telecommunications will meet this coming Tuesday on the 29th at the Barron's, 209, 830 to 930. The second meeting will be Thursday, the 31st, and that will be at the Belts Committee Room 211.
Any further announcements? Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Bush Caucus meeting on Friday, 11:30, in my office, room 502, and if everybody's prompt, we'll be out of there by 12.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only short announcement I have, I want to remind the Anchorage delegation that the Awake and Star Skiathon that's going to be conducted this weekend. I got a call from them yesterday, and they were curious how the Anchorage representatives have been doing in their pledges, and I just want to encourage them that we have a few days left and to move ahead and aggressively pursue it, and I'll be talking with those members later on today on the pledge sheet. Thank you.
Further announcements?
Dan.
Oh, Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was a little bit slow in waving my flag. I'd like to remind the members of the Anchorage delegation that we will be having a caucus meeting, a joint caucus meeting with the Senate tomorrow at noon in the House Finance. Thank you.
Any further announcements? I have one announcement. Would the members of the chairmen of the standing committees and special committees be aware of the five-day rule in relation with the governor's confirmation. This should show up on the calendar, so if you can put a date down and get it to the clerk by the 24th of January at 4 o'clock, then we can have it up on the calendar, and then you can have your official hearing and handle it in that manner. If you have any questions, please come in and see me. Representative Clarkson? The House, please come back to order. Under announcements, there are several appointments that have to be made, and this is for various boards and commissions, of which we have a member of this body serving with the governor's people and the other body. For child support enforcement, Representative Gruenberg will be appointed. For Code Revision Commission, Representative Clarkson. For the Educational Commission on States, Representative Kaponin. For Federal Areas, Representative Herman. Federal Areas, Representative Wallace. For Job Training, Representative Collins. Classification Study Steering Committee, Representative Hurley. And the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, Representative Miller from Juneau, Representative Pat Percho, and Representative Walt Furness. You will all be receiving letters in relation with this information. Mr. Any Speaker, further announcements? Brief at ease. Would the House please come back to order? Are there any further announcements? Without objection, Representative Clarkson. The floor has been yielded, Representative Collins.
Thank you. I always appreciate a gentleman. I just don't know if this is so much of an announcement as it is a warning to all the men in the legislature, but the women in the House and the women in the Senate are caucusing at noon today, and you might just kind of be prepared for some things tomorrow. Thank you.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Chairman, I hate to correct that announcement. Some women in the House are meeting.
I think we started some here. Representative Rieger, what do you have to do with this?
I was trying to ask for a very brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Would the House please come back to order? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Are we still under announcements?
We're still under announcements.
Good. We don't need to revert then. I just wanted to inform the members of the Oil and Gas Committee and the other members of the legislature that the Senate Resources has invited us to join them on an overview of oil and gas at 1:30 in the Butchovich Room. Thank you.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we go up the daily order of business to reports of standing committees. There's a committee report that needs to be read. It requires a two-thirds vote, I think.
Are there any objections to moving up the daily order of business back to communications from standing committees so we can have something on the floor on Friday? Seeing no objections, will the clerk read the committee report?
The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 8 relating to the allocation of Gulf of Alaska sable fish harvest by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 8 resources with the same title, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Herman, Chairman, concurred in by Herman, Schultz, Wallace, Thompson, Sund, Pierce, Jenkins, Cato, and M.W. Miller.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, one final adjustment now for the day. I move and ask unanimous consent that we go down the daily order of business to unfinished business. The appointments that you just made, Mr. Speaker, to the Ethics Committee require a vote of the body, and that has to be done under unfinished business. I ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections for moving back down in the order of calendar to this particular item. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure we don't have a procedure for this, but I'm going to move that the appointments by the Speaker of Representative Miller from Juneau, Representative Furness, and Representative Porchot be approved by the body. Roll call vote to the Ethics Committee is approved by the body, and a roll call is required.
Any debate? The question is, shall the Ethics Committee appointees of Representative Miller, Representative Porchot, and Representative Furness be our Ethics Committee? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the rolls. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
The Ethics Committee has passed the House with the necessary vote of 2/3. Under special orders,
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the special privilege of the floor to talk about revenue forecast?
Proceed.
Mr. Speaker, it's come clear from the testimony we've received in the last week or two and just the comments and what you read in the press that there's a general expectation that the next revenue forecast for fiscal year 1985 and fiscal year 1986, when it does come out, whenever it comes out, is expected to be dramatically lower than the revenue forecast we received last December for fiscal year 85 and 86. The problem is that the next forecast is not due to come out until March, and we're working with a 120-day session limit, and I think that it'll be especially difficult for us to be working at our maximum productivity and maximum speed when we're working with revenue information, at least between now and March, that we know or we strongly feel is no longer valid. Now, Mr. Speaker, I am aware of the positive developments that have happened in the last 24 hours or so, where there have been efforts of maximum cooperation between the legislature and the administration to establish either lower targets or lower ranges so that some progress can be made in establishing a budget between yeah, at least in the interim until the next forecast comes out. But, Mr. Speaker, I believe that there's no substitute for the real thing. And I think that even with maximum efforts at cooperation, we will all be working with an incomplete picture if we don't know what the new revenue forecast is. It's my understanding that to prepare a full-blown revenue forecast of the type that the Department of Revenue prepares takes about 3 weeks. And I would think that it would be very helpful if the administration would start right away in doing a special, even if it's not scheduled, revenue forecast in the hopes that we could have that by perhaps the second week in February. I think that will add at least 1 month of time to the amount of time that in this session that we'll be working with what we believe are valid revenue forecasts, and that I think will help us get out of here with a good budget and with good consideration of other bills that are before the body. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Schultz, special orders.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may, I'd like to just speak on aging for a moment.
Proceed. Okay.
There is one among us who, despite all speculations, has proven that elections can be like a vacation. He enjoys the talking and shaking of hands. The pressing of flesh is a thrill to this man. And though to the contrary he would have us believe, there are answers that even he doesn't have up his sleeve. Like the tiny gray hairs that keep popping out on the top of his head and under his snout, there are more pressing issues, though I doubt he would deny that those gray hairs in the mirror are tough on the eye. So I ask all my colleagues, let us do what we can to relieve the anxiety and fears of this man by letting him know that he isn't alone in the realm of aging political domes. You see, John, it's not the hair that you need to worry about, not on your head or under your snout. It's a difficult fact that the government may phone us and tell us to forget our longevity bonus. Happy birthday, John.
Representative Pettyjohn.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to discuss a potential appointment to Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, I was somewhat troubled recently when I learned that apparently our governor is going to be sending a name to us for the commissioner's job in the Department of Environmental Conservation of a Mr. Bill Ross, who, from everything I can gather by reading news accounts and by other sources of information, is in fact a person who subscribes to the tenets of socialism. Now, as you know, socialism is defined in Webster's as the ownership and operation of the means of production and distribution by society or the community rather than by private individuals, with all members of society or the community sharing in the work and the product. Mr. Speaker, that is a political viewpoint which is certainly legitimate. We live in a democratic system, and those who have that kind of a political attitude are welcome to participate in our democratic process. I find it of interest that I don't know of any member of the legislature who was ever elected on that platform. But in any event, that's a specific idea that I suppose is legitimate to have. However, the way I interpret the Constitution of the state, Article 1, Section 1, in pertinent part says, quote, all persons have a natural right to the enjoyment of the rewards of their own industry. Now, that is a statement by our constitutional founding fathers that we, as a state, in our Constitution, recognize the value of private property and reject the idea of socialism. And as one who took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, I find it unsettling to think that a person in a position such as this gentleman may occupy is espousing attitudes which I consider directly contrary to that very central and key portion of our Constitution. I sent a letter to the governor today, you'll all be getting a copy, asking him to reconsider this. We're not talking here about simply a man's religion or his family life or anything else that's private and we have no business looking into. We're talking about his view toward government. The press secretary for the governor says, well, he's just going to be implementing state policy and his views won't have any effect on that. Well, I think I disagree with that. He's going to be helping make state policy. And he is going to be the chief advisor to the governor on the environmental conservation issues as they relate to private development of our resources. I question whether he's going to be truly unbiased, Mr. Speaker, when he's trying to decide whether a private individual or corporation should be allowed to develop our resources of this state, when in fact, in his own mind, he doesn't think they have any business doing it. The state should be doing it in their stead. And that's the kind of a conflict, I think, that he may be getting into. Now, I'm sure that if the governor decides, in fact, that he will go ahead with this appointment, that the members of the appropriate committee, I believe resources, will be checking into this matter thoroughly. But I see it as a significant issue. I am in no sense trying to set up a confrontation with either the governor or anybody else, but I consider it a serious matter, and I'd advise the other members of this body to pay it close attention should it get before us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders?
Speaker, can I ask permission of the body to speak on the same subject?
Proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know the individual in question. I've never met him. Quite frankly, in spite of the fact that apparently there's some history, at least related in the papers, that he achieved a certain degree of note or newsworthiness previously, I can't recall that I'd ever heard of the gentleman before. But in any case, he is the governor's nominee. He will be coming before the appropriate bodies of this legislature. And I would strongly suggest, Mr. Speaker, I would strongly suggest that all of us withhold judgment until we've actually had an opportunity to hear from the gentleman's own lips where he stands. I think it's interesting that we in Alaska view socialism with alarm when almost every incumbent sitting on this seat right now voted to buy the Alaska Railroad last year. But that aside, Mr. Speaker, I would again just urge members, as I'm going to do, to just simply have an open mind, listen to the gentleman in question, ask him what he thinks about government, ask him what he thinks about public ownership, if that's a burning question in any members' minds, and then, and only then, Mr. Speaker, make up their minds. Thank you, sir.
Any further special orders? Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until Friday, January 25th at 10 a.m.
Any objections? So ordered.